You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is 2 o'clock on Tuesday, and that is when we are joined by Toby Leary. We are going to have a little bit of a different setup today. But Toby, thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Grace. Thanks for having me on, especially on a day like today where it's really important to get out in front of the stories that are going to dominate the news cycle every day and for the next few days, I should say.
Yes, and I wanted to start today, Toby. We're obviously all focused on the horrific shooting, and there's still more details coming out about it. But Democrats and media outlets, but I repeat myself, immediately got out in front of the cameras and they took to their keyboards to create clickbait. And they're trying to lay this all at the feet of Republicans and lawful gun owners, which I know you're very, very used to, especially in your business, rather than the sick person, the individual who carried out this attack. Now, Toby, I am not naive when it comes to just how dishonest and depraved the media can be in this country. But even so, I want you to listen to these headlines. This is from the New Republic. Tennessee made gun laws looser, focused mainly on attacking gay people before Nashville school shooting. This is from BuzzFeed. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee is praying for school shooting victims 1 year after he chose not to support new gun regulations. What is your reaction to headlines like this, and what does it do for the conversation?
It's mental illness, honestly. It's saying the same thing over and over, expecting the different results. So to all the people that blame the gun after every gun shooting, I ask a simple question, and that is when we have a psycho that drives a car into a parade at Christmas time or drives a lorry into a New Year's celebration in Brussels, Belgium, and kills, 20, 30 people in one whack, why aren't they calling for the ban and, regulation of cars and trucks? Because that's the logic that they're touting, is that if only, this person didn't have a gun, meaning like everybody doesn't have a gun, but if they didn't have access to a gun, then all these people would be alive. Even though we know that sick and demented and evil people are out to kill people by whatever means necessary. And I would also counter that statement with, we can start to have that conversation when you can convince the Mexican government to go door to door and round up all the guns that were sold by an American, under an American government program, to cartel members. And when you recover all of those guns from the cartel members that were sold by under the supervision of the United States government, and some of which were used in crimes, and ultimately one took the life of Brian Terry, a Border Patrol agent. But when you recover all of those guns, then we'll start to talk about rounding up all the guns, because it's impossible to do. So I know you're never going to be able to do that. And number two, the same thing is true here. Even if you could snap your fingers and vaporize every gun from the country with one fell swoop, then all you have is centralized power in the hands of government. But look at a nation like Japan, which has outright gun ban. You even have to register samurai swords in that country. And a very beloved president was murdered in broad daylight with a homemade pistol. I think his name was Shinzo Abe, or it was Abe anyway, that was his last name, but he was killed by a guy who made a gun with some pipe and duct tape and firecrackers. and he was able to kill this guy in broad daylight on televised TV. The bottom line is evil exists. And if you want to, you know, talk about ways to mitigate evil or make it harder for these evil people to kill innocent people, I'm all in. Let's have that conversation all day long. But when you want to blame those who aren't responsible, you need to be consistent with your logic throughout whatever you're talking about. You're not going to give up alcohol. You're not going to give up cars. You're not going to give up cell phones because those things cause crime on a daily basis by people who are using them improperly. So if you're not willing to do that, you're being disingenuous to yourself and to the rest of the world by insisting everybody else has to give up their right to keep and bear arms and their means of protecting their loved ones and their counties and cities and states and families and churches and, you know, their communities. So just because you don't like guns doesn't mean, you know, you have the moral high ground. You don't. In fact, what did we see yesterday? We saw two brave police officers that engaged this shooter within 14 minutes of it starting. And unlike Uvalde and unlike Parkland, were able to put an end to this threat in a rapid amount of time. And thank God for that. But guess what they used? They used the tool of guns. And they are a very effective tool when in the right hands. So, you know, I don't think you can co-opt the narrative and try to say, oh, you're the only people that care about keeping kids safe. That's a bunch of baloney. There's no one on earth that is sane and moral that wakes up in the morning and sees this tragedy in these headlines and is happy to hear it. We're all devastated. We're all heartbroken. And the problem, Grace, is it's preventable, 100% preventable. There's a school in southwestern Indiana, Southwestern High School, that is tied in with NetTalon, a great company that has developed software and technology for a very reasonable price to secure schools and not make them look like prisons. They look like every other high school in America, but they're hard in the target, and it's a fraction of the cost of what the average high school football field costs, and it secures that place and makes it so that most people would never even dream of assaulting the school. And that's exactly what the shooter yesterday did. They were going to go to another school and realized there was better security. So then they changed their plan and changed their tactic to go to a school that they knew had less security. Because evil people want to prey on innocent lives that can't defend themselves. And that's what needs to stop. And that's what government needs to get involved and take as a serious agenda, a serious priority, not disarming the people who aren't responsible.
And Toby, what's your reaction when you have people, and especially with the latest update on this story, that the suspect in this, Audrey Hale, had legally purchased 7 guns from various local stores? You are going to have people who say, yeah, this is preventable if we only, you know, had more red flag gun laws, or if there had been better background checks for Audrey Hale. What's your response to that?
I think we do a terrible job of dealing with mental illness in this country. And sometimes some of the most blatant cases of mental illness are on full display, and it's celebrated as if it's a wonderful thing in our society when it's people who are obviously in serious emotional pain and trauma. But the bottom line is you can't pass any law that will change the intent of somebody's heart. So it doesn't matter that they were able to pass a background check. We know that bad people get guns all the time, some through legal means, some through theft, some through robbery, some through acquiring them on the black market. So there's all different ways people can acquire firearms. Like I said before, the Mexican drug cartels acquired them from the U.S. government. So there's guns out there, okay? If someone's really dedicated to commit murder with a firearm, they're going to figure out a way to get it done. The bottom line is let's stop this horrible experiment of the kill box loophole where we send our most prized and precious possession of our children to school with no adequate means of defense. We ban responsible firearms ownership from the premises altogether. There may or may not be a school resource officer that's armed in those places. And then we all try to blame the results on the people who have nothing to do with it. When the target isn't hardened and there's no one there that can respond in an adequate or quick response time, then, you know, unfortunately, things aren't going to change until we do something large to change them. So, I can understand that people want to make the fact that they lawfully bought the gun the issue, but that's not the issue. The issue is there's people that have evil in their hearts, and I don't know what their intent is when they buy the gun. The bottom line is the law can't look into their soul, and it can't predict what they're about to do. Minority Report was a good movie, but it's not the reality we live in. And thankfully, but on, you know, what we can do is become a responsible society and choose to make significant changes that'll ensure our kids' safety in schools. That can be done easy.
Yeah, and Toby, we're going to go to break here, but I want to continue this conversation because I was just listening to Fox just moments ago, and Kayleigh McEnany said something very similar. She said everybody should be at their school board meetings demanding there's an armed security guard at their school. You know, there's armed security guards outside of Tiffany & Co., and she said if we can do that for our diamonds, our kids are a lot more precious than diamonds in a store, so we should be having people outside protecting them. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think it's an important part of this conversation. We can continue it when we come back on the other side. If you have any questions for Toby regarding this tragedy, regarding hardening these targets, as he said, you can feel free to call in. It's 844-500-4242. It's a really, really, really tough subject. Toby does a great job of talking about it and kind of breaking down his arguments, and also just making sure that in this blame game that unfortunately gets played, that lawful gun owners don't become demonized by the media. People who have nothing to do with this are now the number one enemy after something like this happens. And like Toby said, there's evil out there, and we might not have all the answers on what to do about that, but there's definitely ways to make it harder for evil people to do evil things. We will continue to talk to Toby, take your questions. If you want to text in, it's 617-213-1066. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. So call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. We did have the poll question up a little bit later today, so make sure you get yourself to gracecurlyshow.com to vote. Jared, what is the question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which again you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is who had the most despicable reaction to the Nashville school shooting: Terry Moran, USA Today, Joe Biden, or Senator Chris Murphy?
I'm going to go with Joe Biden.
Joe in the lead at 78%. 10% for Terry Moran, 7% for Senator Chris Murphy, 6% for USA Today.
All right, we're joined now by Toby Leary talking about a very difficult subject, which is the tragedy that occurred yesterday in Tennessee. Toby, thank you again for coming on the show. And I wanted to go back to something that you said, because you said this idea that there's anyone who wakes up and any normal person and is not heartbroken by this and devastated is ridiculous. And I think you're right. And I think that's one of the more insulting angles that the media and the left takes, is that lawful gun owners care more about their weapons than they do about the safety of these kids, or that the GOP is made up of cruel people who, you know, don't have hearts and look at this and just move on. Couldn't be further from the truth. Let's talk about something that I know is very, very near and dear to your heart, which is school safety. You mentioned a company beforehand, but what does that entail? Like, what are some things that schools could do or could incorporate to really harden the target?
Yeah, it's a great question, and we've hosted the Massachusetts Facilities Administration before here twice to do some sort of like educational seminar for the school administrators who are in charge of making sure their schools are harder targets. We've done shooting through doors, shooting through walls, shooting through glass and everything else as a display of what is in schools now and what could be in schools. And so they're taking it seriously, which I applaud. The state of Massachusetts has, you know, taken notice and started to earmark funds towards this. But the school that I was talking about in Southwestern High School in Indiana contracted with a company called Net Talon. And basically, there's a four-point plan there. They basically ballistically protect all classroom doors, the hinges, the glass, and the door itself. They put an automatic locking system in the whole school. So with the press of a button, any teacher who has a button in their classroom or a fob on their hanging around their neck can press, and it'll instantly trigger the alarm and lock down the school to the point where everyone knows what to do. They can get behind the sight line in the classroom so that a shooter looking through the window can't see anybody that's hiding there. It connects directly to the 911 call centers so that the first responders can talk in real time to the call center who has a map, and they also can pinpoint exactly where the shooter is, which saves a ton of time. So they also have counterattack capability, so they can isolate the shooter in a certain hallway or a certain area so they can't get into different areas of the building. And then they have smoke cannons that they deploy from the ceiling to kind of surround the shooter and disorient him, not to mention a very loud alarm and a strobe light effect that can disorient them as well. And all this is being done while the police are on their way and starting to gain access to the area. And the call center can, in real time, talk the responding officers through so they know exactly where. But the other part of it is the main entrance to the building is all bulletproof glass. It's you got to have a reason to be there and get, you know, coded in, so to speak. And then when you're in the anteroom outside, once you've gained access, there's another set of ballistically protected doors that end up going to the rest of the school. And it looks like every other high school in America. It doesn't look like a prison. It doesn't look like, you know, a detention center or anything. It's beautifully done. And once you're, you know, you have to get through two ballistically protected areas to gain access to the building itself. So you could see in the video yesterday from this shooter, the first thing she did when she walked up was shoot through the glass and walk right in. Even if you don't have the money and the budget to put ballistic glass, you can at least put a ballistic film, which can be done for about $10 a square foot. It's pretty cheap to your whole front entryway. And that would keep the glass intact, which will slow down the shooter to be able to, you know, even if they did shoot through the glass, they can't just walk through it after it shatters. There's a film holding everything together. So it'll drastically slow them down. That's really all you need to do is show resistance. And statistics have shown when these mass shooters are given any type of resistance, whether it be mechanical or physical confrontation, they usually give up or end it. Or in the case of Parkland, the guy was shooting through a window and it wasn't working because of the ballistic glass, the hurricane glass down in Florida. So he gave up. He threw the gun down and just joined the crowd walking out of the building. So it was over once a little bit of minimal resistance was given. And this entire system was done in Southwestern High School for $400,000. The average cost of a high school football field in America is $6 million.
Toby, so, we're gonna come back to this because it's a very interesting subject. And stay right there, Toby. We have more to talk about. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
It is truly grotesque the way this story is being covered. I just saw a clip, and we're not going to play it here because I don't want to give this woman any airtime. But Joy Reid had guests on. They were talking about all of the anti-woke things that Tennessee has been passing, the bills, just anything that they think Tennessee's done wrong over the last few months. and trying to tie that in to why this shooter did what she did. And if those were her motives, the sense I'm getting from these pundits on MSNBC and CNN is that that somehow justifies this action, or that we should somehow feel sorry for this woman who killed innocent children because she wasn't happy with a ban on gender-affirming health care. By the way, the gender-affirming health care ban, I believe it's for minors, and this woman was 28 years old. So I'm not buying it. I'm not buying this whole idea that it's almost like a hostage situation. Like, oh, well, you know, if only Tennessee had just done what we wanted, then maybe this woman wouldn't have had to do this. That's really, they're getting dangerously close to just saying that flat out. And I don't see any concern for the children who were murdered. I don't see any concern for the adults, the employees of this school who were murdered. All I see is a blame game of, well, this is what happens when you don't pass or when you don't support this ideology enough. What do you expect to happen? And again, that is not what this country is built on. It's not a game of, I don't like this law, so I'm a brave freedom fighter if I do something of this nature. And it's really sick because it sounds so basic that I'm saying it. You know, it sounds so basic. Of course, Grace. Of course, just because someone doesn't like a law, it does not give them the right. It does not justify this kind of violence, this kind of horrific behavior. But based off what I'm watching on these news networks, on these news channels, and I'm using air quotes around news, you would think that's their argument because they're tying it in so closely. Look what's been happening in Tennessee. You know, they're banning gender-affirming health care. Now we have this. You almost want to, if I were on one of these panels, I would say, I'm sorry, what's your point? What's your point? Is your point that this is justified? Is your point that this is some sort of excuse? Is your point that we should feel bad for this person? Is your point that these politicians shouldn't do what they believe is best for kids out of fear that you're going to try to pin a massacre on them later on? Is that where we're at now in politics? Hey, you stood up for kids because you don't believe in mutilation of minors. And now someone came into a school and killed people. So get ready because we're going to blame you for it. It's beyond disturbing. And I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record, but that's what it is today. Because every time I log on to Twitter or to any of these social media apps, it's all I'm seeing is this weird, twisted, pretzel-bending logic of somehow this woman is like a victim of circumstance, or she was, you know, pushed into this by all of these evil laws that were passed in Tennessee. There's more hatred right now, and there's more contempt for the governor of that state than there is for the person who actually committed this crime. That's messed up. That's a problem. Toby Leary's joining us now. Toby, I'm sorry, I just had to get that off my chest, and I know you're familiar with this as well. I mean, it's the way the narrative is shaped, and shame on our media, because the real message and the real evil here gets lost when we try to play these blame games.
Yeah, the same thing happened with Elijah Dickin when he engaged that shooter in the mall. I think it was in Indiana, right after they passed constitutional carry. There were all these virtue signalers on Twitter that were like, oh my gosh, he wasn't supposed to have a gun in that mall. They said no guns allowed. Like, he just saved who knows how many lives. And they were as upset about him violating their gun-free zone sign as they were at the guy who was coming out of the bathroom to kill a bunch of people and managed to kill people within 30 seconds because Elijah Dickens engaged him within 30 seconds and killed him and put him down and ended the threat, but he still managed to kill three people. So imagine if he's able to roam through a mall, run amok in a mall. But you're right, 100% of it. And actually, you bring up a great point, Grace, that the five leading newspapers in America, the five largest newspapers in America, in 2021 combined for 10 articles about a defensive use of a handgun. They wrote 10 articles total amongst all five of those, but they had 1,700 articles combined about illegal use of firearms and murder. And then when you take murder out of the equation and just put in wounding people with illegal guns, and et cetera, it goes to 2,700 articles those same five newspapers wrote, even though defensive firearms use is far more ordinary than illegal use of firearms in the case of a spree killing or a murder or some sort of assault. But they don't ever bring that up. They don't ever talk about the millions of times a year that people use guns defensively. They want the narrative. They want to stand in the bloodstained carpet, and they're not going to quit until every last gun is banned from legal, responsible people from owning them. That's their agenda. And like going back to your poll question, Chelsea Handler said that every politician who votes against gun reform is a murderer. That's unbelievable language.
Yeah, talk about violent rhetoric or whatever they want to say. I don't even like to use that term because it's so ridiculous to even call words violent. But if you're going to use that, then that would definitely meet the bar. No, Toby, I just wanted to talk about something else you just said about that shooter who came out and he was able to eliminate the threat in 30 seconds. I was talking about this earlier. I said, you always assume that there's like a threshold to this insanity that we're dealing with political correctness and the woke ideology and the left agenda, that, you know, Howie always says a Democrat or a Republican is a Democrat who's been mugged. And sometimes it's really just more tied into this idea of there will come a point where something wakes you up from this unicorn fairy dust, left wing green fairy tale that you're living in. And you'll have to, you know, face reality. And the craziest part to me, and I was thinking about this with this shooting, is that that's not even the case. Like, you have three little kids who have been murdered now. And I look at USA Today and all these other publications, and they're saying, well, the shooter here was misgendered, or we mislabeled the pronouns. And I'm like, so nothing's going to wake you guys up. There's nothing tragic enough. There's nothing horrible enough to make you back away from this nonsense that you're fixated on and actually focus on the things that matter, like the people who are dead.
Mm. Yeah. No, you're 100% correct. And, unfortunately, I think that they really don't want it to change. They just want to have the narrative so that they can continue to push their agenda of banning guns. And that's really the only reasonable way to interpret what they say, because they don't actually point to anything that could make significant changes, like hardening the target. Stephen Exaros, he's a representative in my district here in West Barnstable. He introduced a bill called House Bill 611. Which is a bill in the state house to put a school resource officer in every single public school in the state to fund it. We certainly tax us to death in this state. We can find the money to put a school resource officer in every school at the very least, but more needs to be done than even just that, because we've seen in the case of Uvalde and Parkland that police officers sometimes freeze. They don't run to the sound of gunfire when they're called upon to do it. But fortunately, yesterday, these police officers did, and they did a phenomenal job. But the biggest thing I think facing us right now is gun-free zones, Grace. I think we need to end I call it the kill zone loophole. That's what these are. They're gun-free zones, and it's the kill zone loophole. We need to end the kill zone loophole today and make it so that good and responsible people who can carry a gun in the supermarket and on the street and in their homes and out on the street, wherever they go, can also carry when they're dropping their kids off at school, or if they're a teacher, they can carry on the job, or if they choose to, if they're a custodian or a maintenance guy or a ground crew or a police or administrator, can carry their gun to work just like every other sector of society. And that is what is going to help mitigate this type of loss ever from happening again. And that's something we can do with the stroke of a pen. End this kill zone loophole today. Make gun-free zones a thing of the past. And I tell you what I'll do. I will print "This house is a gun-free zone" sign for anyone who doesn't agree with me. They can come pick up their sign and they can put it in their front yard and say they can proudly display to the world that they are a gun-free zone. I bet you I won't have any signs taken off my hands, because That's something that nobody's willing to do in their own home. And there's even YouTubers who've done that. They've gone up and said, hey, will you let us put this sign in your yard? It says this house is a gun-free zone. They're like, nah, I don't think that's a good idea. Why don't you think that's a good idea? It's good enough for our kids at school, but not good enough for you in your home.
Wow.
I think it's crazy.
That's a really interesting. I had never even heard of that, but that does make sense that people would steer clear of it. Toby, I wanted to talk to you about one more thing here before we let you go. You saw the body cam footage from these police officers that rushed in. And like you said, we've had scenarios where that's not the case. Tell us your thoughts on the police's response in Tennessee.
I thought they did a phenomenal job. They came to the school. They didn't sit there and wait to make sure they had every piece of gear, every ballistic shield, every helmet. You saw police in all kinds of stages of dress. They just ran to the gunfire like a trained professional should do. And one thing I found very interesting is they started to isolate where the shooter was. At first, they were just kind of going room by room and checking and looking for the shooter. And then when they heard gunfire, they all ran upstairs and ran down the hall and ran towards the sound of it. One thing that I noticed was one of the body cam police officers had very good equipment. He was very well trained. You could tell by the way he responded. And as they got closer to the shooter, they called for the cop with the low power variable optic to be the one that engaged. They actually said LPVO, come up, you know, and so he came up and it was the guy with a low power variable optic on his rifle, and he was able to engage from across the room at a longer distance than someone with a handgun could have. And so, another cop followed up. But I thought they did a very, very good job under the circumstances with minimal equipment. And, I think they handled themselves in an extremely professional manner, and I applaud them. They're heroes, and they didn't shirk their duties or responsibilities, and they put themselves in harm's way in an effort to save people, and I believe they saved a lot of people's lives yesterday. So my hat's off to them. I think they did a phenomenal job.
Toby Leary, we love having you on. Even on really tough days, you are able to put this in a way that we can all digest, and whether people agree with you or disagree with you, I think it's obvious how much you care about these subjects. If anyone wants to reach Toby, you can visit him at Cape Gunworks. They're located in Hyannis on Airport Road. You can also follow him on social media. You can go to capegunworks.com. We will be right back, running short on time here with Howie Carr, so don't go anywhere.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
Today's Car Crossover is brought to you by ReadyWise. Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets, and it's incumbent on you to be prepared. So get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com. Use code Howie15 to get 15% off your next purchase. I was running short on time on the other segment with Toby Leary, and I just wanted to let you guys know that he's going to have Larry Correa on his show tomorrow, who's the author of In Defense of the Second Amendment. You can check that out at rapidfireradio.us, or you can get it later in the podcast, but that's rapidfireradio.us. All right, so here's a story for you that just came across my desk. Barack Obama is on a speaking tour in Australia. And I haven't really been paying much attention to it. The Daily Mail's been covering it and taking photos of Barack and Michelle and all the places they're going. And now, I guess, and I'm reading here from Red State, Obama has made in this speaking tour upwards of $1 million. And on said tour, he's talking about the growing threat with China. And you'll never guess who he's blaming. He's blaming Donald J. Trump.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
As reported by the Daily Mail, the former president sat down with former Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop in Sydney, with people paying hundreds of dollars to hear him discuss leadership and other issues, including the growing Chinese threat. He blamed Donald Trump. Joining us now is Howie Carr. Howie, before we get into the global threat that is China, let's talk about a question that Obama once asked. At a certain point, haven't you made enough money, $1 million, to sit around and pontificate over whether or not things are Donald Trump's fault? It's a pretty good gig.
It certainly is. I mean, it's, not much responsibility, even less accountability. And, as long as no one follows through on any of your crackpot ideas, you're okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, people have been following through.
I was talking about Elizabeth Warren today. That's her gig now. You know, as long as no one enacts the wealth tax or the student bailouts or the FDIC bailout, you know, anything unconstitutional, you know, she's okay. You know, but if they do, then you got the Consumer Finance Protection Board again.
Yeah, Howie, I wanted to go back though to what Obama was saying about Donald Trump being responsible for this growing threat with China. I mean, we talked yesterday in our crossover about your column where Biden was saying, you know, things are good with China. Oh, I mean, Canada. But I mean, no one's been all over the map more than the current leader of the free world when it comes to China and where we stand.
Well, you know, I think that the fact is, I mean, he's on the payroll, you know. I mean, I don't know how you can have a guy who's on the payroll of your leading enemy. I mean, it's like he's a double agent, or the whole family are double agents for China. They're not, but they're, you know, double agent, that means you're a secret agent. These people aren't even secret agents. It's right out there in black and white. And then he denies it when his own banking regulators have turned over the documents to Congress.
Right. He says that's not true. He told a reporter that's not true about the wire transfers. And I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, well, it's your Treasury Department. So are they, what are they, fudging the numbers? Are they making up, wire transfers to frame you? Is that what's being suggested?
It's great to be Joe Biden, isn't it? It's great to be a Democrat and never have to answer to anybody. And the only way you get in trouble is if you, you try to tell the truth and then you end up like Matt Taibbi. Welcome to my world, Matt.
Yeah, for people who don't know, the IRS showed up at Matt Taibbi's house the day he was testifying in front of Congress. But like I said, Howie, the IRS has a squeaky clean record when it comes to playing it fair, being just, not politicizing things. So I don't think Taibbi, the so-called journalist, has anything to worry about.
Yes. The thing is, at least Matt got an extra 20 years of life. I got before he got his first audit. I got mine when I was 30.
Howie, the early bird gets the worm, okay?
The early bird gets audited over and over and over again. And
they
audited
him early and they audit him often. That is Howie Carr. He's coming up next, everybody. I know it was a heavier show than normal, but we got through it. We'll be back tomorrow with more, so don't go anywhere.